Time for the Positive Chats podcast, and this morning we're going to be chatting with Eric Urine, author of the book, Are You Being Robbed? 8 Essential Keys to Reclaim Your God-Given Purpose. Good morning, Eric.
It's good to be here. Thank you for your ministry.
Oh, thank you for writing this book. So many people miss out on knowing their God-given purpose or calling, so looking forward to talking with you about this. Let's get to know Eric Urine a little bit better. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in a Christian family. My father was Lutheran and my mother was Pentecostal. So I kind of consider those like the two bookends of Christianity. And eventually, I always wanted to be like my grandfather, who was a Foursquare minister and an architect. So I did architecture for a while. But around 2010 is when I heard the Lord really prompting me to go into full-time ministry. I became the senior associate of the United States National Prayer Council, got involved with a lot of churches in the Sacramento region, one of them being through a City Pastors Fellowship, which is over 300 pastors and dozens of different denominations that meet every other week. Through that, I've been able to work with a lot of different pastors, a lot of different churches and denominations, and focusing mostly on prayer and prayer for the state of California. In prayer for revival. It was around that time in 2010 that the Lord really put on my heart to write a book. And so it's been a 12-year journey in writing this. I put a tremendous amount of time. If I paid myself $15 an hour, it's over $250,000 of investment in this. So I wrote it because the Lord, you know, revealed some things to me that I saw. An anemia, I like to say, within the body of Christ, regardless of denominations, of these 8 essential keys that I consider to be essential for every single believer to redeem their God-given purpose and to be prepared for the days that we're living in and the things that are still yet to come.
In California, you were involved in a bill that was being introduced that goes along with what you say in the book. Tell us about that experience.
Regarding chapter 1, which is specifically on our identity in Christ, I've been involved with several different bills for parental rights having to do with schooling, but also around 2018 is when California began several of these new bills having to do with gender identity, and more specifically SB 197, which had to do with our driver's license, where everybody would get to pick and choose whatever identity they wanted to assume to be on their driver's license. Some of the people that were leading that in the Senate asked, that were asking pastors, they wanted pastors to come in and just simply share their own testimonies, their own experience dealing with people that were struggling with identity. And several pastors in our region, with much larger churches than mine was at the time, were asked, but nobody wanted to do it. And so basically I was the last person on the phone call list. And of course, to be honest, immediately, you know, I didn't want to do that. Who wants to go, you know, into a den of lions, you know? But yeah. I felt the Lord really impress upon me that I needed to do this. So with less than a 24-hour warning, I came and I had an opportunity to speak for about 5 to 7 minutes before the Senate on the bill, sharing just my, again, like I said, my personal testimony. And the room had roughly 250 people. All of them, except for 5, were for the bill. So the room was very tense. It was very spiritually heavy. And I began to share in love just some of, like I said, my experiences when a lot of people in the audience started chuckling and laughing, kind of commenting under their breaths. And it was at that moment that the Holy Spirit just kind of came out through my mouth. And I said that there is power in the name of Jesus Christ, and there is healing through the blood of Jesus. And when I said that, the entire room went dead silent. You could hear the pin drop, and some of the congressmen were looking at each other, and they were like, wow, did he just say Jesus? You know, is he allowed to say Jesus? And for a moment, I thought my microphone got turned off, so I kind of touched it, and it was still on, so then I began speaking. And at the end of the meeting, I heard the Lord tell me he wanted me to hold the door open at the back of the room for everyone to exit. I was like, oh boy, okay, here we go. So I'm back there, I'm holding the door open as everyone was leaving. But much to my surprise, most of the people that would smile. I had several comments that say, hey, I disagree with you, but I appreciate the way you spoke in love. And I could tell you're very passionate and caring. And then we even had an opportunity to pray for some of the people at the end. So wow. The bill ultimately was passed, though. And several of the bills have come along since then, one being how men can change their gender so they can go to women prisons if they ever get incarcerated. So continue to stand up and speak against some of these things and just try to share the truth and love and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Can I just ask you this one question regarding that? When we get in a situation, hopefully not in front of 250 people like you, but how do we speak to people from your experience when we do get faced with this issue?
First of all, pray beforehand. You know, the devil is a liar. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will even try to, I see sometimes when we preach or when we talk to others, he'll even try to twist what we try to say in the ears of the unbelievers so that they hear something differently or interpret it a different way. So prayer is absolutely critical and essential before any type of conversation like that. Just prepare your heart, make sure your heart's in the right place, your heart's in tune, your mind, you have, plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your mind, you have the mind of Christ, so that we can speak with these things in truth and love, passionately and accurately, and do it in a way that other people can listen, because ultimately, if we speak and approach people in a way where they shut off before we even get a chance to talk to them, then the conversation really doesn't do any good. So that's my first recommendation, is always pray.
Appreciate that. We're talking with Eric Urin about his book, Are You Being Robbed? 8 Essential Keys to Reclaim Your God-Given Purpose. So when you started writing this book, what were you hoping to accomplish and hopefully that people will get out of the book?
To kind of understand thievery, we kind of have to go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. I like to reference how one of the first acts of thievery by the devil was when he came to tempt Adam and Eve. God created the earth. It was perfect. Everything was provided. There was perfect relationship and fellowship with God. And then through the act of sin, death, the consequences of death came into play. And that separation of God kind of occurred. And when that happened, there's a void, I like to say, that's inside of every one of us as we're born into a fallen world. That void is where Christ or God, that the relationship we had with him once was but is no longer. Of course, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has provided a way to restore that relationship. But that's why, you know, every single person ultimately deals with identity issues. And I think it's more especially here in America, identity theft is a very major issue. And of course, our identity isn't in what the world says our identity is, but our identity as followers of Jesus Christ, our identity is who he says we are in him. And so not just following Christ and being a believer, it's understanding what our privilege is, because we have rights and privileges, right? Just like with a driver's license, we have certain rights and privileges. We have rights and privileges that come along with having our identity in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, when you boil it all down to one thing, our identity determines our destination. When our identity, right, we are following the things of this world, we'll perish along with the things of this world. And when our identity is in Christ, we get to be with him for all eternity. And so that's why it's the first chapter of the book. And I go on to deal with several other subjects later. But again, these were all 8 issues that I saw, regardless of denomination. I would go up to people and I would ask them, what's your calling? Because God has a calling, a purpose for your life. Do you know the shepherd? The qualities of the shepherd. One of the biggest ones is discernment, right? We deal with in this world. Most Christians, I've been shocked to believe that they don't understand the tools that the Word of God has laid out for us to utilize to operate in discernment. And that's really critical in the times that we live in. And another big one that I don't hear too often about is the will of God, his perfect will, his permissive will, and his sovereign will. And understanding the 3 of those really can bring peace to people. A lot of people have fear about the future or fear about decision-making. When we have those tools, when we understand those principles of God, it makes life easier. There's a comfort and a peace that comes along with that in life.
When Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have to the fullest." Is this mostly what he was referring to, our identity and what God's calling is for us?
Ultimately, if you boil it down to one thing, if you had to simplify one thing, I would say yes, our identity, because like I said, our identity determines our destination and salvation. That's the one thing that Jesus, you know, God desires of his heart, that all would be saved.
Several different callings or identities that we have. What are those?
So I would say overall, the most controversial chapter in my book is the five callings. I understand that there are a lot of denominations out there that believe that the five callings not all five callings are for today. I try not to share my opinion or my conjecture, but let's look at the Word of God and what does the Word of God have to say in this. And so the entire book is littered with biblical references and verses. And I love to use the Strong's looking at the original Greek and the Hebrew to really dive in to the meat of the matter. But one of the things I point out is not only were there apostles that were, you know, listed in Scripture beyond when Christ was on earth, but we still see those five callings naturally play out in the world around us today. And one of the examples I give is in the business world, the set of organization of a corporation. You have the CEO, you have the vice president, you have the teacher, you have the human resources, and you have the charismatic, I like to call him evangelist, the salesperson. And we've done several different Bible studies in the Sacramento region so far with this book. And even though I would say that overall, that is the most controversial chapter because of different beliefs and different denominations, that has been the chapter that I have gotten the most feedback from, where people literally, one lady the other day just left me a voicemail message crying because it impacted her so much. When people know the calling that God has on their life and understand it, it brings a great measure of peace. Like a lot of parents will want to encourage their kids to be a doctor or a lawyer because they're successful, they make a lot of money. But I've talked to some doctors and lawyers where the DNA of their makeup was more to be like in music or to be a worship leader. And so one of my conjectures is when we walk in the calling that God has for us, we may not be the most financially successful person in life necessarily, but there is a great peace, there's a joy, and there's a level of fulfillment in walking out who God has made you, created you, and called you to be.
So how can we know our calling?
So each of those, each of the five callings, I give a background for each of those callings, what they do, the things that were associated with them. And in reading in that book through the chapters, I have yet to find someone who has not read through that chapter and not said, "Oh my gosh, this is me. This is absolutely who God made me to be. This is my calling. This is my passion." And so, and again, it's not necessarily to say that you're going to be in full-time ministry, because the ministry is out in the world, right? God has said that we're here to occupy until he comes. And that means we don't go hide in our bunker, to have the bunker mentality and wait for things to get better. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the only people hiding in bunkers are the lost that are hiding themselves from God. God wants us to occupy, be a presence in the world around us until he comes, and be equipped for what's going on around us, so that we can be the sight and the salt and the light of the world. And part of that is by knowing our calling. And you know, I hate to say it that way, but it's very detailed. And so I do want to reference people to the book to read to that.
And you have a chapter called Knowing the Shepherd. Why is it important to know Jesus Christ truly is?
To jump ahead to the chapter on how not to be deceived, one of the three tools that God gives us is Jesus Christ, who he is. And of course, we can go down the road and there's several different people we can ask, you know, "Hey, do you know who Jesus is?" And I've gotten a lot of people to say, "Oh yeah, I know Jesus. You know, he was the great mystical, you know, voodoo person." It's important to know Jesus, the real Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of Scripture. And so the chapter on knowing the shepherd, and by knowing the qualities and the things that, that a shepherd does, for example, just having to do with seasons, and this falls in line with the Hebraic calendar. We start off in winter, right, the fall, and then we go into a time of seed planting, and then we come into a time of growth, and then we come into the time of harvest. And then that at the end of the harvest, the shepherd always takes his sheep home. I think that's an excellent analogy and a description of our walk as Christians through life. And so knowing like just that one small aspect of the shepherd, it kind of gives us the picture and a better understanding and coming in relationship of who Jesus Christ is, and becoming closer with him. And then also being able to identify his voice and his character from the false Christs in this world.
And not only is it important to know who Jesus is, but also to know who the robber is. What are some of the tactics that the devil uses?
Well, the introduction of the book starts off with the thief, his tactics, what Scripture says, who he is, and how he operates. I know a lot of us as Christians, after a while, we realize that he doesn't create anything. He is a corrupter. He taints God's images. He tries to mold the things of God into his image, but he's not a creator of anything. So what he'll do is he'll try to twist, lies, deceive, and then ultimately destroy if he can. And I just want to throw this in there too. We often think about how we are being robbed by others, by Satan, but we can actually be accomplices to his thievery. One of my conjectures is when we aren't walking in who God has called us to be, with utilizing all these keys and tools to walk in our Christian life, then we are actually robbing others around us from what God wants to ultimately do in us through the giftings and the callings that he has for us. And so my encouragement is not just to protect yourself from being robbed, but also don't be an accomplice, an unwilling or unknowing accomplice to his thievery.
We've got Jesus, we've got the devil, one on each shoulder talking to us. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish, you know, are we hearing from God or not? How can we hear the voice of God?
One of the things I talk about, and there's several in the chapter on do not be deceived in being able to identify the Lord and how he speaks, because sometimes it's through a still small voice. Sometimes it's through another person or the Holy Spirit. And then obviously, ultimately, the Word of God speaks to us. So we have the Logos and the Rhema Word of God. But one of the not just knowing the tools to identify his voice, there are several other things. I think I have about 15 different things listed in the chapter on how not to be deceived in discerning and recognizing him. But ultimately, the biggest thing that I point out in the chapter is only 15% of people who claim to be Christians have read the Word of God. So that means one time or more. So that means 75% of Christians have not read the entirety of Scripture. Now, I always want to point out the easiest thing to do if you want to be able to hear God's voice and discern God is to read the Word of God. And if we rely on our pastors to, expositorily go through Scripture 1 hour a week on Sunday, it will take an entire lifetime to get through the Word of God. So you cannot rely on your pastor. You have to take time, take it in the morning or whatever, to read the Word of God on your own. And I know some people are afraid of the Word of God. Some people are afraid that they won't be able to understand it. But, you know, persevere, dive into it, start out with prayer, dive into the Word of God and read Scripture. It's important for us, especially if you want to be able to hear the voice of God.
And the Word is so alive, just reading it, even if you don't fully understand it, it's getting into your soul, and God can use it and water it.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Eric Urine, author of the book, Are You Being Robbed? 8 Essential Keys to Reclaim Your God-Given Purpose. If someone is out there confused right now and doesn't know what God has called them to do, they feel that they don't have a purpose or they're confused, what would you say to them?
Well, I would say that as long as you are breathing, you're alive in this world for a reason. Because God has a purpose, a plan, a destiny, and the calling for your life.
And at the end of each chapter, you have a closing prayer. Why did you decide to do that?
Prayer is essential. I had a mentor. His name was Pastor Ted Rose. We started a prayer initiative here in the Sacramento region where we had several different denominations and churches host a 24-hour period of prayer. So for each day of the calendar, and this went on for several months, it's actually one of the longest continuous prayer in our nation's history. We had a church that would host from 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. the next day. And that gave me an opportunity to go around and to pray with a lot of different congregations, different pastors. And when you pray with someone for 24 hours, you really get to know them. And I began seeing the effects of prayer. You see, so many times our prayer life will be maybe 15 minutes, maybe 2 minutes. But when you pray for 24 hours, you get through the wish list, you get through a lot of the other stuff that's kind of, you know, on the surface in your life, and you have to dig in deeper and press in. And through that, I realized the importance of prayer. And so it's critical that is part of our daily walk, right? Like Paul said, we pray, you know, or desire that we pray continuously without ceasing, just as the Lord does for us. The one thing it says he does for us continuously is prayer. So prayer is very important. And I want to encourage people not just to pray, but to pray aloud, not just quietly to yourself. And so I had to include that in every single chapter, along with a personal testimony of someone who was greatly touched by each of these keys.
Now, you have studied eschatology or end times, and you feel that there's a sense of urgency about your book. Why would you say that?
Well, it's like, how deep do I want to go? The Lord's given me a lot of dreams in my life, and some of them I have shared openly, some of them just through my congregation and church, and some through friends. There are two dreams that I do share that are listed on the website, areyoubeingrobbed.org. There's a 40-minute video there where I do get into that. I found that it seems like the majority of Christians, though, don't like warnings. As an example, in 2018, this is fully documented. So this is, I'm just not making this up. It's recorded. And in fact, if you go to the website, you can watch the original recording there as well. August 5th, 2018, in one of my sermons, Keep Watch and Occupy Until Jesus Comes, I warned that in 2020, there was going to be a man-made biological event that would eventually usher in a need or a push for mandated vaccinations. Now, I put that out there, and I said, gave that to several different pastors and stuff. And we as a church, we started collecting things. And so, you know, during the 2020 pandemic, we were able to actually give out hundreds of rolls of toilet paper. And I say that not bragging, but I share that because it's possible for us to hear from the Lord, to know to prepare for things to come. So when things happen, I like to use the analogy of a fire. When some people run away from the fire, when you're prepared for a fire, you can run into the fire. And I've always found that the greatest opportunity for evangelism happens when people are faced with a life and death decision. And so my desire is for Christians to be fully equipped for the things to come so that when they do come, we can be the light in the world of darkness, and we can minister and help those that are in need in those times.
We can learn more about that by going to the website.
Yeah, the website will have the 40-minute video there. I also have a free downloadable study guide on the website as well, and that's www.areyoubeingrobbed.org.
And is that where we can get a copy of the book?
Through the website, but you can also get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Trilogy TV, and your local bookstore. So it's available nationwide anywhere.
And it is, again, areyoubeingrobbed.org?
Yes.
All right. Eric Urien, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I wish we had more time, because so much more in this book. Wow.
Great.
Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thank you so much. God bless you.